Will we have digital copies of our body that tell us when we should see the doctor in the future? Or what are the chances of recovery if we get sick? And is this a hopeful or a threatening prospect? These are some of the questions we will talk about in this episode of Setting Sails. My guest is Claudia Witt, professor of the Faculty of Medicine at the University of Zurich. And her research focuses on artificial intelligence in medicine. You are listening to Setting Sails, Navigating AI in Higher Education, a podcast about rethinking teaching to create better education for everyone, with or without AI. My name is Alexandra Jansky. I am the leader of the Innovation and Digital Education team at the University of Zurich. Claudia, do you use fitness or health apps in your daily life, perhaps to check your pulse or track how many steps you take per day?
Oh, absolutely. And I always love to try out new ones.
So do I. But I think we should talk about the other thing which is coming up in medicine. So you are involved in developing recommendations for much smarter machines than these apps. Claudia Witt, welcome to the studio. You are a professor in complementary and integrative medicine at the Faculty of Medicine at UZH, and you are the director, one of the directors of the Digital Society Initiative at UZH. Actually, that's, I think, quite interesting. So on the one hand, you are specialized in complementary medicine, and on the other, you are deeply involved in AI in medicine. At the first glance, this sounds a bit contradictive, doesn't it?
Yeah, many people think so, but it's not for me. So I deeply care about life, and therefore I'm interested in both an integrative approach to healthcare, but also AI.
I see. Yeah, I think that's also very interesting when we come to this core project you are doing. So one of your research focuses is digital health for mind and body. As part of the DSI, you are involved in an exciting strategic project. It's about the so-called digital twin, a digital double of an individual body based on their data. It's an AI-supported instrument that helps us in physical matters. If I got this right, the gain for us is to get individualized advice and how to stay healthy and fit. But what do I know? Could you explain in a few simple words what exactly a digital twin is?
Yeah. It's something we will expect to have in the future, but imagine it as really our whole body transferred in computer code. And you can imagine it's very complex code. So a lot of different AI algorithms. And those algorithms are then trained with your personal health data, doctor's reports, MRIs, lab results. And then in addition, updated with real-time data from sensors. And so these AI algorithms could be used to simulate, to predict, and optimize your medical outcomes.
Oh, that's quite interesting. So I can imagine that already some of these things are already done in medicine. So is AI already used in medicine?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And we can say the most prominent field is really medical imaging. So AI algorithms are being used to analyze medical images like X-rays, MRIs, CTs. And these systems can really detect early conditions like a cancer, breast cancer, for example, or stroke or heart disease. And this is quite a remarkable accuracy.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. And also gives us hope maybe that in the future there is some development in cancer recognition, very early cancer recognition, even more.
Yeah, and this is not the only field. So there's really also in personalized medicine when it's about predicting the cause of a disease, or even in virtual health assistants, there are AI algorithms within the chatbots.
Great. So now back to the digital twin. So the digital twin is also like a computer model, as far as I understood, that is still being developed. So we are not there yet. It's a machine of the future, if you will. I would like to imagine how life, how my life would be with such a digital doppelganger. So let's say it's 2015, I woke up drenched in sweat and I'm feeling unwell. What would happen? Would I hear an alarm from my digital twin, or what's going on?
So I believe it's very important for the future that we as humans can decide what we want from our digital twin. So in other words, we humans should stay in the driver's seat. So taking this example, in case I as a human being have decided I want to be monitored this closely by my digital twin, I would assume I get very clear recommendations. And honestly, I don't think that we have to wait until 2050. I assume we will have something in the next 10 to 15 years. Because we know that, for example, for parts of the body, like the heart, already digital twins models exist.
Interesting. And how can I imagine that? So would I wear some implements or a watch? Or so how am I tracked? So how would it...
So we're looking into the future. So my answer is a little bit fictive, or I hypothesize there. I assume we will have options so that we can really choose which type of sensors we want to use. This can be a smartwatch, but we might have sensors in our walls, perhaps even in our bed sheets. I don't know what comes up in the future. And also the way how we get notified, I hope we have a choice there. So it either could be that I get a sound and get a text, or perhaps a voice recommending something to me. And I would love to choose a voice, the type of voice, what I already do in my navigation system in the car. And then it depends really on the situation. And if you are perhaps 50 and female and you're sweating in the morning in your bed, it might just be a hot flush and your digital twin stays very relaxed.
I can imagine that. So just... For me, it's not so obvious yet, because we talked about these devices already. We have like a smartwatch. You know, you already said there is AI involved in some of the recognitions. Like, so what is the real big advantage then for the digital twin? Is it just the sum of all these things?
I think the advantage is to have so much more individualization. So now we know, for example, that we should exercise on average 2.5 hours per week. But this recommendation is from clinical research and it's just an average. Humans differ from each other, and my digital twin will hopefully know much better, based on a lot of knowledge he or she has about me, how much exercise will be the best for me to prevent cancer, to prevent cardiovascular diseases. And even more important, I hope my digital twin will tell me at the right time the right thing, that I'm motivated enough to put it into practice. Because it's not about knowledge at the end. We have to do the lifestyle change. And with having personalized recommendations, it might be much easier.
Yeah, you're right. On the other hand, I'm not so sure if I really want to know everything about myself. So I don't want to hear a voice saying, Alexandra, you should not drink this glass of wine, when I'm just out with friends. So what do you think? So what does it mean for our mental well-being if we are always aware of the risk of our actions?
I think that's a very good point. So knowing myself, I like to live with some risk and not to worry about everything. So I'm comparable to you if it comes to this point. But from research, we also know that expecting that we get symptoms increases the risk that we get these symptoms. We call this a nocebo effect. And therefore, we enter here a very complicated field of health information and how much information is really healthy at the end. And this is not a new thing, but with a digital twin, it takes another level, because it's so much more personalized, it will be more often. And I think we really have to prepare for this.
Mm-hmm. I can see now that this would help me as a patient, but is it also a use for doctors? So how can a digital twin help doctors, maybe?
In the beginning, I see the advantage especially for the doctors. So if a patient comes with a digital twin into the consultation, I have much more detailed information. And we as doctors can use this information to diagnose or to predict the course of a disease. But most importantly, we could simulate different treatment options and decide based on these simulation which option might be the most effective and most safe treatment for the patient. And we have a lot of patients who take several medications, so we could even simulate about drug interactions and then choose a drug which has the lowest risk for interactions. So there are a lot of advantages if it comes to medical consultations.
Mm-hmm. And now I make a bit of a U-turn because we are a podcast about education, and I'm thinking now about higher education. And I also guess that the digital twins could help us in certain areas of higher education, especially you already said, like making predictions of diseases that might come. One example for lecturers, what I got in mind is like burnout. Do you think a digital twin could predict burnout or even prevent lecturers to be burned out?
So I really would go for prevention here. So by monitoring stress symptoms, like physiological measures, for example, heart rate variability, or even monitoring signs of depression. So there are already algorithms looking when you type on your keyboard and this typing changes over time, there might be a risk for depression. So by monitoring these things, there can be early recommendations so that people can take action, start to do relaxation exercise, but even seeing a psychotherapist when needed.
That's very interesting. And I'm just thinking like the lecturers are one side, but also for the students, we will get more and more students, or we hopefully get more and more students in medicine. Is it possible that a digital twin could support even the learning process of the students?
I see there are a lot of potential, and again, hopefully more with a focus on prevention. So learning for students means also a lot of sitting hours, mm-hmm. often stress, sometimes chronic stress. And a digital twin could support a good balance between time to focus and learning, but also to have breaks. And for example, if the heart frequency rises, there could be the suggestion of doing a relaxation exercise. But not only on this level, there could be recommendations for better food options. We know when we are stressed, we eat less healthy. But then including snacks with walnuts or berries, which we call brain food, could be a recommendation by the digital twin.
Just one more question about the training and the teacher training, because I can also imagine that the whole training we do now for doctors would need to change because they need to get to know how to work with a digital twin, what to do with these predictions. So what do you think, how would we need to adapt the way we train doctors in the future?
So we have to make changes, and this is very important, and I can't just say this often enough. We have to start now to prepare for the future. And first, everyone needs more digital skills. But second, a healthcare team needs to be able to include a digital twin into the interprofessional team. And from research in economics, we already know that mixed teams can be complicated. So when I bring together humans and AI into a team, and this can be less effective. And that's, I think, something we want to avoid in medicine. And trust and communication issues play an important role here. And this can be trained within role plays for the students, or even by using virtual reality and building up these scenarios now.
So what you're saying, the problem between in mixed teams, because this is quite new for me, is because the communication does not work well?
So there is research showing that there is less communication when AI is included in the teams. And it's also interesting, very often is AI not really seen as a partner, as something different, which is not what we usually want to have in teamwork. So there are really steps to go to prepare for this future where we will always have human AI teams.
Do you know if they put more trust in the AI or less trust in the AI than in the other colleagues?
I think it really depends on the person, mm-hmm. on beliefs, trusts, the cultural aspects. So there is no one size fits all, and we only can predict into the future. But really, with having tools like virtual reality, we can already play scenarios which might be there in the future.
Absolutely. Now, I'm just thinking about the ethical considerations. So what you described was also a lot of intrusion almost of AI in my daily life. It's telling me when I should eat nuts or when I should do a relaxation exercise. And of course, I can see there are a lot of like ethical issues as well, especially also when it comes to, do we have to get a digital twin? So is this something, is there an obligation in the future to have my digital twin? Will I be discriminated for medical care if I do not have one? So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, I think you address a very important point. There are many ethical issues around it. And this is also includes accessibility to new technology, questions of equity. And how do we provide care to those who say we don't want to have a digital twin, which is absolutely fine if someone does not want to have a digital twin. But also making informed decisions as a person if I only understand part of this complex technology. And last not least, what happens with my digital twin when I die? There's no solution for this yet.
Oh, you're addressing a very good question there. So, and it gives me hope because you say that, and you probably will, all the people who are doing the development will keep this in mind and solve this before the digital twin is out. And I wonder, like in society, I'm just thinking on the one hand, it's a really hopeful and positive idea of having the, the digital twin helping me to get healthier, avoid illness. But on the other hand, it's also a bit scary to have a doppelganger. That's something you addressed already. Do you know what society thinks about this prospect?
Oh, yeah, we do. When we did the strategy lab at the Digital Society Initiative, we included a representative population survey in Switzerland. And honestly, I was very surprised. 2/3 of our Swiss population would like to have a digital twin when it would be available today. And the older people, even more than the younger people. So my hypothesis is here, when you have more diseases, you have more drug interactions, you would like really to have proper simulations that you have a safer treatment afterwards. But it was also very clear that 80% of our population believed that the people should have the choice to have a digital twin and even to have a choice about the different options a digital twin provides. So we should really keep in mind, we as humans, we should stay in the driver's seat.
Mm-hmm. That's also when it comes to, I mean, AI can make mistakes. We all know this. We see sometimes really funny answers from AI. So I think also in medicine, this could be a real big problem, right? If the AI is making a wrong prediction or has some data which is probably not right. So what you are saying is there always needs to be an expert who also knows it good, or?
No, that's not what I mean in general. I mean, we should make the decision which tasks we give to AI and how much we trust AI. And we always have to understand there is no life without errors or mistakes. So humans make mistakes and algorithms can also make mistakes.
Absolutely. Finally, we could say, I guess, the digital twin is mostly a good prospect. So Claudia Witt, thank you so much for this very interesting talk.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
And thank you listening to Setting Sails, Navigating AI in Higher Education. My name is Alexandra Jansky. This is a podcast of the Educational Development Team at the University of Zurich in cooperation with LernNetz, a company that drives innovation in education. In the next episode, my guest will be Sarah Ebling, a professor of language, technology and accessibility. One of her current research projects is an AI speech tool that will make lectures more accessible for deaf people. The episode with Sarah Ebling will be out on the 18th of December. I'd be happy if you could join us again. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and let us know what you think. Also, feel free to send us any questions you might have and topics you're interested in at teachingtools@education.ush.ch. You can find all this information in the show notes. See you next time.